Could we turn in our little flock hymn books to number 66 in the appendix? We have some lovely gospel hymns in the little flock hymn book, and it'd be nice to sing one of these tonight, this well-known gospel hymn. It says, "Come, hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. It tells to all around, yet there is room. Though guilty, now draw near, though vile, you need not fear. With joy, you now may hear, yet there is room." Let's sing this. Let's pray. Our loving Father, tonight we thank Thee for the words of this hymn. We've been singing, "Yet There Is Room." We think of that. We think of how Thou art long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here we are in the late day in the history of this gospel message that has been going out for 2,000 years, and still there is room. The door is still open, and there is room still for guilty sinners to come tonight and be saved. And Thine arms are outstretched, our God, to guilty sinners tonight, that they might come to Thee and find in Thee a loving Savior, a loving God, a God who delights to save, a God of love, a God who sent His Son here into this world, His beloved Son, that one who went to Calvary's cross to suffer, bleed, and die for guilty sinners such as we. The work is all complete. There is nothing left to do but just to receive the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. It only says a simple thing, believe and live. So tonight, we ask thy help as we open thy word. We cannot do anything without thee. Loving Father, we just cry to thee for help tonight. And we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God's house is filling fast. We're right on the threshold of the Lord's coming. If the Lord was to come tonight, would there be some here in this room who are still lost and to be left behind for the coming judgment? Because coming judgment is going to come upon this world. And this world is fast going on to its destruction. It is. It's a sad old world in which we're living in. The last closing days of the day of grace. And how wonderful it is that still that loving message from a loving heart of God can still go out. And his arms are outstretched to this world. And I love that verse in Matthew 11:28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think of that. How wonderful, how beautiful that is, that the Lord Jesus could stretch his arms out to this world. And he's calling to you, dear ones here tonight, maybe a young person here tonight, sitting beside their mother or their father, still not saved yet. And his arms are outstretched to you. He wants you to come to him. Just come to me, and I'll save you. And you can be saved for all eternity. Saved. Isn't that wonderful, that word, saved? Saved. How wonderful it is. But what a solemn thing to be lost. And to be lost forever without any hope. In hell forever. Does God want that of anyone here tonight? No, you know it says in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, he says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die? He's pleading for this world, for souls in this world to come to him tonight. And so he says, come tonight, before it's forever too late. Some guests will be the last. To think of that. The irony of it all. If there was possibly one person here that was the last one to come tonight, and the door would be closed forever. Forever. And we'd be home. We'd be home. How blessed. How blessed. I'm waiting for that moment. More so now than ever before. He's coming. He's coming. His coming is as sure as the dawn. What a Savior. I ask you tonight, is he your Savior? He's mine. Thank God he is. I've known the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior for over 50 years. And I'm not sorry for any one of those years. I failed him many, many times, but he's never failed me. Never. Never. And be more precious to me than ever before in these last little while. What a Savior. What a Savior. There was a verse read this afternoon. I want to read it again. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says, verse 14, in the day of prosperity be joyful. Isn't that wonderful? The joyful news of salvation can go out to whosoever will tonight. It's a joyful message. It's a message of love. It's a message of God's forgiveness to poor, guilty sinners. Be joyful. How wonderful it is. But do you know what it else says? But in the day of adversity, consider. Oh, consider. Where will you be tomorrow, dear friend, tonight, if you're still lost and in your sins? He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Where will you be tomorrow? Where will you be tomorrow? Will you be here in the meeting? If the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, it would be forever too late for you if you're still in your sins. How wonderful it is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The work is all complete. The Lord Jesus did it on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. There's nothing left for you to do but just to come as a guilty, lost sinner. And we had repentance this afternoon, and that's so important, isn't it? It says in Acts 17, it says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he given assurance that he raised him from the dead. Oh, think of that. We have a living Savior on high in the glory. Do you know this wonderful person? I know him. Do you know him? I'd like to turn to a well-known gospel portion that probably has been told so many, many, many times before. And I'd like to tell it again. And you know what the song says? It says, tell it again, salvation story repeat o'er and o'er, till none can save the children of men. I've never heard that story before. And I know that probably everyone here in this room have heard the story of the Lord Jesus, of his saving power to poor, lost, guilty sinners. But once more, I want to tell it again. Numbers 21. Numbers 21 and verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Idarium, in the wilderness which is before Moab, toward the sunrising. Toward the sunrising. Then turn with me to Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34 and verse 14. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall return again to the dust. If he only thought of himself and gathered unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to the dust. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one final portion in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. And when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. This is Pilate's wife. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will he that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And they all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Oh, when we see this scene in front of us here, and here's Pilate, and he's been given, shall we say, a warning through a dream by his wife. And you know, before God brings judgment upon man, he always warns him. And you know, the gospel brings a warning with it tonight, a warning of coming judgment coming upon this world. And Pilate asked this question, this great eternal question, and this question that must be answered by every individual in this room. Every individual, either one way or the other. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? That question you must answer. Pilate thought that he could just forget about this question. And he washed his hands of the whole thing. And you know, there are many like that that are, oh, I won't bother about it right now. That question, I won't bother about it. You know, we had a gospel, we had a funeral a couple of weeks ago. And there were, I would estimate, probably about 40 at that funeral that were questionable as to whether they were saved or not. I know of 10 in my apartment that were there. Two of those individuals in our apartment were known to curse the name of the Lord Jesus many times over. I heard them. And they were there and they heard the gospel. I told Bruce, I want to hear the gospel loud and clear. They walked out. There were others that walked out. God will still hold them responsible. And he'll hold you responsible. You must answer this question. You can't wash your hands of it. You have to answer it. You have to. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? The janitor or the maintenance man of our apartment, he came to me the next day and he says, I'm sorry, Al. He says, I fell asleep. Isn't that typical? Isn't that just like the God of this world? Lulling man to sleep when there's a gospel meeting going on, the greatest question of their life. I went to sleep. And he'll sleep for all eternity in a lost hell. How solemn. God will hold you responsible for what you hear. And isn't it wonderful that you, dear ones here tonight, many of you, all of you probably grown up in a Christian home, have heard the Word of God many, many times over. You've heard the gospel many times over. But hey, listen, have you received it yet? Have you received it yet? Little boy, little girl, tonight, sitting beside your mom and dad. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior? Can you say, yes, I am. Yes, I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. How about it here tonight? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You can't get around it. You have to answer it. Let's go back to Numbers 21. Here they are. It says the children of Israel, they're on a journey. And you know, every one of us here are on a journey. Some of our journeys are just about over. If the Lord was to come tonight, it would be over. We'd be in the presence of our Lord. And I'm waiting for that moment. Isn't it exciting that here we are in the last closing days of the day of grace? And I know He's coming. His coming as sure as the dawn. And it says here, at towards the end of this chapter, towards the sun rising. 16 times in the Word of God we see those words, towards the sun rising. Oh, we're looking for the sun rising, for the Lord to come and take us home. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? Towards the sun rising. They're on a journey. And you know, dear one, every one of us here are on a life journey. But where? Where? The very solemn thing that I came up against in Nigeria. I was asked to speak in a prison. And we went into this prison. And I spoke on that one, and that verse in Matthew 27. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And in that prison, there were five prisoners. And I asked after that we got out of that prison, I said, what is happening to these prisoners? Those prisoners were going to be taken out and shot. They were going to be executed. And I think of that. What a wonderful, wonderful, long-suffering God we have. And here is five men that soon they were going to leave this world. They were going to be taken out and shot. And yet God gave them one more opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. One more opportunity. And you know, that's the way it is tonight. He's giving you one more opportunity in your life's journey to accept Christ as your Savior. And how could you refuse such a wonderful God, such a wonderful, loving Savior? To think that He's got His arms outstretched to you and He wants to save you tonight. Loving Savior. Their journey. And they're on their way from Mount Hor, compassing the land of Edom, and they get discouraged. They get discouraged. There's a verse, this was a real encouragement to me. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with a right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, what a wonderful God. You know, this verse was such a comfort to me in this last little while. I am with thee. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Wonderful God. I couldn't have gone through it all without Him. Wonderful God. Yeah. And the people spake against God. And you know how many of there are that today are speaking about God, speaking against God. And they say, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Was that the case? No. He said, I'm going to bring you into a land of milk and honey. A wonderful God that took 2 million people out of Egypt, took them through the Red Sea. What a miracle that was. Through the Red Sea, and here they are. And they get into the desert and they start grumbling. And isn't that just like us? We start grumbling because things are not going right and we start grumbling. And they start grumbling and they say, there's no bread. No bread? What rained down from heaven? The manna. A beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It came down. What a wonderful provision by God to feed His people through the desert. There it was, the manna. And then the water. They said there's no water. Well, there was that rock that followed them, 1 Corinthians 10, all the way through the desert. And that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Think of that. But think of this. Oh, turn with me to... This is a gospel meeting. We must read this verse. John 7:37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Isn't that beautiful? that last day, that great day of the feast. Here they were. They were feasting. The Feast of Tabernacles, they were feasting, but without God. And it says here, the Lord comes, and the last day, you know, friend, think of this. This might be the last gospel meeting from this room. The last time. The last time. God's house is filling fast, yet there is room. Some guest will be the last, yet there is room. Might be the last tonight. Tomorrow will be too late. And it says, Jesus stood and cried. Isn't that beautiful? Our blessed Lord, He's standing there and He's crying to that crowd that was there. He says, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with fatness. What a God we have. He can satisfy that thirst of yours. Yeah, He can. I remember as a young man, tried the thirst of this world. You know, it don't work. It don't work. It don't work. There's only one person that can satisfy your thirst. He satisfies your longing soul. What a God we have. Oh, okay. Numbers 21. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and much people died. Now, this brings us to Romans chapter 3. And it says there, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's it. Right there. Sin. Every one of us here tonight, every one of us have sinned against God. And those sins have separated you from a holy God. God cannot have sin in His presence. No, He can't. But oh, the wonderful answer to it all is 1 John 1:7. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the formula for sin, isn't it? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Have you ever told the Lord that? I have sinned. The prodigal son said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, somebody told me once, and I'm sure it's true. Those are just think of this. Those are the three hardest words that a person can ever say. I admit that I have sinned. Think of that. I have sinned. The hardest words that a person can ever say. To think that a guilty lost sinner would get down on his knees and trembling before a holy God and say, I have sinned. But what a wonderful God we have. The minute we do that and say, I have sinned, He comes in and blessing. Almighty love, arrest that man. Save that precious soul. What a God we have. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and put it upon a pole, and shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. Oh, God told him to make this fiery serpent and put it upon the pole. And what was it? All they had to do was look and live. Look and live. And you know, it says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, it says this. Look unto Me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. A simple look, a faithful look to the Lord Jesus dying on Calvary's cross for your sins can save your soul. It's only one way. It says in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. O friend, is this nothing to you, that the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross for your sins? Is this nothing to you? A solemn thing to go out of a gospel meeting still lost. There were many in that gospel meeting a couple of weeks ago that went out still lost. But a solemn thing. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Oh, think of that. It says the weight of the brass could not be found out. When we think of our Lord Jesus there on Calvary's cross suffering for our sins, it says in Hymn 245, it says, the depth of all thy suffering no heart could e'er conceive. The cup of wrath o'erflowing for us thou didst receive. And oh, of God forsaken on the accursed tree. Oh, to think in those long dark hours, those three dark hours, those on Calvary's cross when our blessed Lord was made sin for us and bore our sins. Yes, dear one, he did it all for me there. All my sins, so great, so many, were heaped upon that blessed one there on Calvary's cross, and he bore them all for me. Oh, think of that. The love that held him up there on that cross. Oh, think of it. Dear one, tonight, the love of Christ that passeth all understanding. I'll repeat that again. The love of Christ that passeth all understanding. Have you laid hold of that love? Laid hold of that love. Dear friend, tonight, would you turn with me to Ezekiel 47? Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house. And behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came out from under the around the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, were to the ankle, to the loins. And afterwards he measured 1,000. And it was as a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Dear friend, tonight, I would like to just tell you about these waters. They remind me of the love of Christ. They remind me of the love of Christ, the love of Christ that passeth all understanding. And dear friend, tonight, if you don't know the love of Christ, I want you, dear one, to get your feet wet tonight. Just get your feet wet. Just to put your feet into those waters, the love of Christ. Just to see, oh, what a wonderful person you're coming to know. The love of Christ. That love of Christ that led him to suffer, bleed, and die on Calvary's cross for you. And if you'll just get your feet wet, and just get into those waters and to know more of the love of Christ, to get deeper into those waters, you know, dear one, tonight, he'll really overwhelm you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. That's my loving Savior. My Savior that has overwhelmed me over and over again. I've failed him many times, but oh, what a wonderful Savior. Get your feet wet tonight, dear one, tonight. Just get into those waters. The love of Christ that passeth all understanding. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I wonder if you were to be there in that scene that night, that day, whatever it was. And those that were bitten by that snake and they were dying, they were probably lying there. And there was that serpent of brass. And all they had to do was just look. I wonder if there were some there that just didn't even bother to look. What would happen to them? They would have died. And dear one, tonight, if you go into a lost eternity, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. Nobody to blame but yourself. It's available for you tonight. And the gospel is there. It's available to you. All you have to do is come as a guilty lost sinner. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Then it says, and they journeyed towards the sun rising. Dear one, tonight, I'm journeying towards the sun rising. My precious Savior is coming to take me home. It might be this very night I'll see him face to face. How is it with you? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Perhaps tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Little boy, little girl, tonight, sitting beside your mom and dad, are you ready? He's coming. He's coming. Maybe tonight. Let's thank him. Our loving Savior, we thank thee that even though this gospel meeting has been brief, our loving Savior, we know that thou canst use it to precious souls. And we pray, loving Savior, that if there's one here tonight that is still lost, that tonight they might come before it is forever too late. Our loving Savior, we thank thee for thy great love to us. We thank thee for that love that led thee to go to that cross of Calvary and die for us in Calvary's cross. And make it all possible whereby we might have eternal life, and whereby we might know thee as a loving Savior that delights to save, and whereby we might know that soon we're going to be with thee and like thee in that coming scene of glory. And we feel that thy coming is so very soon. Thy coming is as sure as the dawn. And so tonight, we just ask thy blessing on thy word that has gone forth, even though it's been feeble. And loving Savior, we just pray that if there's here tonight one soul that is still lost and in their sins, that tonight they might come before it's forever too late. Loving Savior, we ask thee and we plead with thee for lost, perishing souls tonight. And we ask it, Lord Jesus, in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.